Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes presented by Kroll & Warren. We are your co-hosts, David Robbins and Peter Ayer, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts, legal, and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. And we start with big news on the GSA schedule front. On November 27th, GSA announced it will consolidate the 24 different schedules into one single schedule that includes both products and services. Through this consolidation, which GSA anticipates will take about 2 years through a phased approach, GSA intends to ease the process of purchasing for government customers, allowing for greater flexibility to combine products and services into a single combined solution. For contractors, this is expected to ease the administrative burden associated with holding more than one schedule for different lines of business that include products or services. This really is very big news. It's a top priority for GSA and something that's going to be of great importance for contractors going into the next couple years. Next, we turn to cybersecurity news. DoD OIG released a report assessing DoD's actions to implement the requirements of the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act of 2015. Specifically, the IG assessed whether NSA, DISA, DoD Cyber Crime Center, and the U.S. Cyber Command had done the following. So they looked at whether those entities had sufficient policies and procedures in place for sharing threat indicators. They looked at whether they had verified the status of security clearances for private sector individuals. They looked at whether there were processes in place for sharing threat indicators in a timely manner that removed irrelevant PII, and they assessed and mitigated barriers. They looked at whether they had those things in place across the board, and the results were quite concerning. The IG concluded that DoD only took limited actions to implement the Act's requirements for sharing this information. According to the IG, DoD's insufficient actions resulted from the CIO's failure to issue a DoD-wide policy. So a lot there, and certainly follows a trend that we've been seeing, real focus on cyber, specifically on the DoD side. David, over to you.
Thank you, Peter. In the broad topic of attention, teaming, and joint venture partners, a recent bid protest out of COFSI and Metrica Team Venture of the United States makes clear that when a solicitation says a particular credential or capability must be held by a specific corporate entity proposing for the work, the solicitation means what it says. Now look, we often see teams or joint ventures of companies with certain, for example, clearance levels or cost accounting system approvals or similar issues where proposals say that while not all parties to the proposal have the credential, the underlying work requiring the credential will be done by the appropriately qualified team member. This protest decision makes clear that when a solicitation says, for example, certified cost and accounting system needs to be held in the name of a joint venture or by every single member to that joint venture, they really mean it. And the government can bounce proposals on that basis. We raise this to remind those of you who are arranging proposal teams and organizing JVs that these requirements are serious, that you need to give serious thought to meeting them. Obviously, if you don't, it's better to explain and give the government the option to choose you anyway. But just another reminder out of COFSI that the government doesn't have to, and it's not a winning issue for protest. Moving on to False Claims Act news. In a fascinating case, which is U.S. XREL Brasher versus Pentec Health in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, the Eastern District of Pennsylvania denied the government's request that the court reconsider its decision, denying an 11th extension of time or a request to reseal the False Claims Act lawsuit, or at a minimum, the government's request for further extensions. They want more time, they want everything back under seal. And interestingly, both the relator and the defendant joined the government's request. The government argued the case should remain under seal to prevent harm to the defendant from references to a prior criminal investigation, which had been concluded without issue, to comply with policy behind sealing extension requests and practice among such courts to do that, and to avoid jeopardizing settlement negotiations because, quote, allegations will affect financing of a resolution, unquote. Defendant also urged that it may suffer negative consequences from the disclosure of the previous criminal investigation. Look, those are all good points. And I can recall in my career making those points in various different settings across the board. But the court denied the reconsideration and reseal requests, noting that the case had been under seal for more than 5 years, finding that, quote, no good cause, unquote, existed for reimposing the seal, and it unlikely defendants would suffer harm from disclosure of the previous criminal investigation because it concluded a year ago with no charges. And additionally, most interestingly to me anyway, the court found that settlement negotiations per se cannot justify keeping a case under seal as the, quote, purpose of the sealing provision is not to allow the government to prosecute a civil action entirely under seal and then to present a settlement as a fait accompli to the court and the general public, unquote. Accordingly, the court rejected all of this and required an intervention decision then to get on with it within 30 days. This whole thing is fascinating to me, Peter.
Yeah, it's a really interesting case and obviously something to watch carefully.
Yeah. Probably unique to that particular courtroom because there are plenty of other places where these arguments work just fine, but definitely one to keep in mind. I will wind up and then kick it back over to Peter just to let people know that it's semi-annual regulatory agenda time again. And for those interested in a snapshot of government's regulatory intentions for the next half year, check out DOD, GSA, NASA, etc.'s regulatory agendas. They're chock full, as you can imagine, of cybersecurity and infosecurity provisions, indications of action upcoming on cost or pricing data, reporting requirements, efforts to increase task order level competition, and some differences, frankly, between DOD and other agencies and the GSA in how they streamline commercial item procurements.
Yeah, there's a lot in there and certainly worth looking at if you're trying to get a sense of what's on the agenda as we go into 2019. And for those, I'll close with one final item. For those that are focused and following DOD's effort to achieve audit readiness and complete a full financial audit, we have an update for you. On November 18th, DOD released its financial report for FY 2018, which is DOD's first full-scope department-wide financial statement audit. It arrived without an audit opinion letter because of the lack of full audit readiness by DOD. There were about 20 material weaknesses, including the inability of DOD components to validate the completeness of the universe of transactions underlying the statements. So obviously, pretty significant weakness. That's all for this edition. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. In the meantime, if you need anything, David can be reached at 202-624-2627, and Peter can be reached at 202-624-2807. Thanks for joining us.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.